y'all. Welcome to the Sweet Tea and Jesus podcast, hosted by Tara McAdam and Kelsey Hamrick. We are two sisters who desire to grow in love for Jesus. You are not alone, and we want to come alongside you with challenges, laughter, questions, prayers, and eternal hope of the gospel. Whether you're on your way to work, folding the 10th load of laundry, or drinking a glass of sweet tea, we pray you are strengthened and filled with joy from these biblical truths today. Hey, podcast fam, we are so thankful for another episode today to spend with you wherever you are. And I'm not sure where you are or what you're doing. I have no idea what your checklists look like today or what you're facing today, but I am so glad that you are here with us.
Me too. We all just want to be more like Jesus. And as Tara and I dive deeper into questions that we are working through, we feel so thankful for every listener taking the time to learn more about our Savior.
Yeah, Kelsey and I had some conversations kind of over the holidays and during our in-between season break, and we were talking about things for the 2024 season 3, and we were just throwing around like various ideas, and I asked her what she thought about talking all about love, especially when it came to talking about biblical love, and she was on board, so here we are. And I'm just super excited to begin this kind of mini series on the podcast in season 3 that just dives deeper into what is love. So we're going to dig in and look very closely at the passage in the Bible found in 1 Corinthians 13 verses 4 through 8. It's that famous love passage.
This is appropriate. You know, it's Valentine's Wednesday this week for us. So this is appropriate. Yep. We're starting this.
That's right. This is that love passage we often hear at wedding ceremonies or vow renewals. You know, anything like that, especially at Valentine's Day. But love is often thought in a romantic way. You know, the love between a husband and a wife. It is a beautiful gift from God. But we're not only going to talk about love between a husband and a wife or a parent and a child. You know, we're really going to try and focus on the love between God and his people and how his people are called to love each other. So the first question is, how does God love us? How can we love God? And then how can we love each other well, whether that is in a marriage or a parenting relationship or a friendship or you name it, you know? And we just felt that like breaking down this passage very small and small chunks would just be helpful and encouraging and refreshing and perhaps challenging to each of us, no matter if you're a single person, a spouse, a parent, a grandparent, a sibling, etc. But I don't know about you, Kels, but I feel like we have all struggled to love our neighbor well at some point, right?
Yeah, for sure. We live in a culture that is very self-serving. I hear and see people give advice about relationships that is so different from what we see in scripture. This popular online doctor shared a post recently about self-discipline and how mentally strong people have it. And he explained that what he means by self-discipline is that they only do nice things for people who treat them with respect. But Jesus says in Luke 6:27-28, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you."
I mean, just like Jesus on the cross forgave those who persecuted him. I mean, that is, you can't beat that picture of love and forgiveness. And I think that that kind of love is just so different from what the world tells us is love.
And absolutely,
you know, and I think a better way of kind of looking at this mini series is focusing on the question of how is love patient? How is love kind? How is love not resentful or rude? How does love keep no record of wrong, and so on? But before we get too far into it, let's just read the passage. Kelsey, you want to take a stab at that?
Yeah. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. food. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus commands his disciples in John 13, 34 through 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciple, if you have love for one another. If we are to be known in this world by our love for one another, then how, here we go, how are we to love?
Yeah, I feel like I fail at loving others well sometimes because I really don't know how when it gets difficult. It's so easy when someone loves me back and is treating me with kindness and patience, but those relationships that the other person says mean things and you know, their actions don't match up with what they say, or you catch them lying to you or talking bad about you behind your back, what about then? You know, what does love look like in those situations? The best way to really break it down is to just take it a few at a time and see the ways that God gives us to love those around us the way that he does, the way he loves us, even when we don't necessarily do things to deserve it either.
Right. Today, we're going to just look at this very first section in the first verse, verse 4, where it says, you know, we're going to think of how is love patient and kind. I think I'm constantly praying all day, every day, truly, Lord, help me be patient. Help me be kind. And so let's just start right now with love is patient. So we're going to start there first, and then we'll move at the end of the episode towards love is kind. But if I'm being real, y'all, I struggle real hard with both of these. I mean, in marriage, in parenting, I mean, just in general. First of all, I am not a patient person. I mean, seriously, I do not like to wait. And I mean, I know that's a fruit of the spirit, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. And like, I need to ask the Holy Spirit, truly. I need to say, I have no patience. I need you, Lord, to fill me with patience. But if you think about like everything in our culture about waiting is like the opposite of what the Bible teaches. You know, the world will say, pull forward and we'll have your food ready. You know, it's like less than five minutes, you know. If you need the newest, latest, most updated version of fill in the blank, you can get it, you know. If you, and they'll tell you, the world will say, you know, if you want it, then go get it. Or, you know, have it your way. And
that makes me think of that video. I know y'all know it. Have it your way, but don't get crazy.
That's right. That's right. I love Bon Quee Quee.
That's so funny.
Yeah. You know, but patience is just something I think that we are to ask God to give us. And I also, I do think that this fruit of the Spirit comes more naturally when we are walking in step with him.
Yeah.
And we can't just use the excuse, well, some people have the gift of patience, but it ain't me.
Yeah, for sure. I've heard that. I really have heard, and not just patience, but with so many things.
Right. Like my last spiritual, you know, gift is mercy. And I can't walk around going hashtag no mercy because the Lord is merciful. And therefore I am to show mercy, even though it was my last gift on the spiritual test. So I got to work on that. And I need God to help me be the things that I'm not. And so I do think that that God makes some people with the ability to be more patient than others. I do. I think that some people, that gift, it does come more naturally. Like my husband is probably one of the most patient people I have ever met in my life. And anyway, that's a whole nother story. But I just, I don't think that we can use this excuse to not practice patience, to pray for patience, and to be disciplined. Going back to what you talk about, it is a discipline with patience. But, you know, we like words. We like to look at what do words mean? You know, and so Kelsey, what do our favorite friends, Webster and Merriam, say about the word patient?
Yes, Merriam-Webster defines patient as bearing pains or trials calmly or without complaint, manifesting forbearance under provocation or strain, not hasty or impetuous, steadfast despite opposition, difficulty, or adversity. What I love most about this definition is that patience is all about adversity and strain and trials and pain. So the verse starts with that first. God is showing us that love is patient. It's calm during the storm.
You're right. I mean, I think that we serve a God of order.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that order matters in God's word and in the way that he does all the things that he does. And we do serve the God of order, not chaos. And in this set of verses in 1 Corinthians, when we talk about love, Paul is writing to this church in Corinth. He planted this church. He spent time with these people.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a church that, you know, they had some rough stuff to get through to be new believers and to be set apart from their culture. And in chapter 12, he had just finished talking to them about spiritual gifts and how, you know, one body has many members because they were starting to get jealous of, well, so-and-so can do this and I can't, you know, and he tells them how God makes each one of us with these abilities to glorify him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he proceeds to tell them how even though they are all different, that they can serve each other well and all work together to bring glory to God. Mm-hmm. Now he continues in saying, I'm telling you how to best love each other with your gifts while you're serving together and pursuing the lost for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, in this list of ways to love, the how to's and the how not to's
mm-hmm.
in Paul's list, love is patient comes first.
Right.
Why? You're right. Why do believers need to be reminded that patient and being patient needs to come first?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, he knows the nature of man and our human heart are not inclined to be patient.
Right.
And when working in the fallen world with broken people, all because of sin, we need some patience.
Mm-hmm.
And we need God-given patience. Again, you can't just muster up in the morning, I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps and today I am going to be more patient. It's not like that, you know?
Yeah.
In Galatians 5:22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things, there is no law.
Mm-hmm.
One of the fruits of the Spirit is patience, and it is one of the characteristics of love.
This is an area that I've really been working on. I felt like I was patient, and maybe I am most of the time, but especially in marriage and having small children, I realized I am not as patient as I prided myself to be. The Lord humbled me. I have to pray for it all the time when my child is taking forever to do a task that she just insisted she do herself. And when we first got married, I would ask my husband to do a task. And if I thought he wasn't going to do it quick enough, then I would just do it myself and then get annoyed at him. And I still do that every now and then. I realized the moments that I rely on God for patience, that I'm allowing him to remind me of his patience and his love for me. And it helps me to extend that to those that I love. And it helps me to feel peace instead of feeling frustration.
Mm, that's so true. I mean, if you think of the most patient person to ever exist, it's God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God is the most patient person. He is the definition of love itself. And he is also the definition of patience. The Old Testament refers to his patience as steadfastness.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, this word steadfast is next to the word love.
Mm-hmm.
Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Psalm 33:22. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Psalm 103:8. For your steadfast love is great to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Psalm 57:10. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. Psalm 33:5. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Lamentations 3:22-23. In Psalm 136, it uses the statement, for his steadfast love endures forever, 26 times.
Wow, I love that. Steadfast love. God is so patient with us. Even Adam and Eve, when they sinned, he removed them from the garden, but he covered their nakedness and promised them redemption through Jesus. I started thinking about when Jesus returns and how it feels like it's been so long. But knowing the patience of our God and how much he loves us, I know that it will happen right on time. Jesus is still drawing people to the gospel but he will return. And his delay is because of compassion and love for his people. And his patience proves that to us.
That's right. He desires that none should perish. Mm-hmm. And our Connect group at church has been studying through the book of Revelation. We've been in it now almost 6 months, and mm-hmm. we are just now through chapter 13. And it has been so good and so eye-opening to take it verse by verse, small chunk at a time, and even kind of not debate, but just give all the different viewpoints that people think of, like, what does this interpretation mean, or why, you know, is this going to happen? And really, like, the black and white and the gray areas that, like, we don't know, and we can rest in God's sovereignty and that what we don't know, you know, kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I think one of the things that I just keep being reminded of when we've read through it is you're just like, why is God allowing all these things to happen? Because it's a lot of wrath. There's a lot of darkness that's going to happen in the end times. Mm-hmm. But it's because of his patience. He is trying to allow any and all people unto repentance, unto himself, before he finally makes that last trumpet call. And there is no other opportunity. And even just reading that, you're like, he's holding out for that day mm-hmm. because he wants to give, you know, every
because of his love
and his patience. And so, So anyways, we serve the most patient God that, you know, there is no other religion that has a God like our God. And we don't have a religion. We have a relationship. Mm-hmm. So, that's right. But Psalms 86:13 says, "For great is your steadfast love towards me. You have delivered my soul from the depth of Sheol." So I think a practical question is, how can we try to have this steadfast love like the Lord that is patient? Well, I think we first have to ask God to please give us a teachable spirit, a spirit that is willing to deny ourselves and to love others more than we love ourselves. I think that's the first step.
And we have to be willing to see the patience of God, just that he's had with us every day, because every selfish thing that we've done, every mistake that we've made has been forgiven because of Christ and because of his love for us. And we can't forget that. We can't forget how much we need him. We have to live humbly knowing we are sinners and we are loved anyway. And we have no reason not to extend that to other people. Patience has to flow out of us from the Spirit of God. Like you said, we can try to discipline ourselves to do better. And we can say, I'm going to get less frustrated today. I'm going to be more patient, but it's not going to last for long. It has to come from the love of God flowing out of our hearts.
That's right. And we all know we've lost our patience with our husband. Mm-hmm. We've lost our patience with our kids. Mm-hmm. So it's, again, and friends or family. I mean, it doesn't matter.
Parents.
That's right. Like, I think that mm-hmm. we have to take a step back. We have to put our eternal glasses on mm-hmm. and realize that how the Lord deals with us, like we've talked about, and is so mm-hmm. steadfast and patient. We are called to be that reflection in the relationships that we have daily as an accurate ambassador of him.
That's right. Like, when you're driving in your car and you get behind a tractor, y'all, you just got to be patient. Like, they can't help it. That's what they're doing. That's their job for the day. Okay. Like, be nice. And when you behind that little granny that's driving like 20 miles below the speed limit and you just want to honk your horn and what are you doing? Hurry mm-hmm. up. Mm-hmm. You know, in those moments, they matter. All of those moments, the people we know and the people we don't know, and every circumstance, everything that we do is an overflow of what God is doing in our life. And it matters. It's a testimony to who God is, because we claim to be Christians and we have to live that way.
Right. That's right. Amen. Well, verse 4 at the beginning says that love is patient. Well, at the end of verse 4, it says, and kind. So how mm-hmm. is love kind? What does this word kind mean? Well, according to Webster's dictionary, kind mm-hmm. means, it says, of a sympathetic or helpful nature, mm-hmm. of forbearing nature, and gentle. Mm-hmm. So I think a better question too, you know, in addition to looking at the dictionary, is, well, what does the Bible say? And specifically, what does the Bible say about how Jesus was kind? Mm-hmm. You know, Galatians 6:10 says, so then, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Mm-hmm. So that do good there is representing, you know, kind, mm-hmm. Having a helpful nature. Mm-hmm. Micah 6:8 says, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Romans 2:4 says, or do you presume on on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. God is the most kind being on the planet. I mean, his kindness is what is meant to lead us to repentance.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, that is a mind-blowing verse to meditate and to rest in. And I'm just so thankful for his kindness towards me, leading me to repentance, because he knows I need it every day, all day, every hour, almost every minute. I am like, Lord, thank you for your kindness because I need
it. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. It doesn't take much time scrolling through the internet or turning on the news to see just how judgmental and cruel that people can be. Our world desperately needs kindness. There is so much bullying going on. People saying things that are demeaning towards other people, groups of people. Everyone wants to share their opinion about something, and in the process, they forget there are actual people that are hurting, that they are hurting with their words.
Right.
And as Christians, we have been shown kindness by our God, and we know it. And that kindness should flow out of us to those around us.
I agree. Yeah. Kindness is pretty easy to show, like you talked about earlier, when the person is easy to be kind to. You know, for example, a polite, respectable, loving, gentle, just easygoing, selfless person. That's easy. But kindness is hard when the person is not easy to be kind to. If they are rude, disrespectful, selfish, harsh, difficult, unloving. I mean, I struggle showing kindness to you know, the most to these people in my life who are in that second category. You know, I struggle to be kind to my husband when I feel unloved.
Right.
And I struggle to be kind to my children when they are disrespectful and disobedient.
Yeah.
You know, I struggle to be kind to the person who is rude to me at the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
But no matter how the other person is, I can only control how I respond.
Yeah.
And we are to respond and reflect Jesus.
Right.
We are called to be, like I said earlier, his ambassadors. And I'm going to stand before the Lord one day and I'm going to give an account of my actions, not theirs.
Right.
And I must be willing and readily available to allow him to use me to display his kindness to the people that he has placed in my life.
Yeah, it's more challenging for me to be kind in all circumstances when it comes to the people that I know the best. And I don't know if it's because I know them so well that I expect more of them, or if it's because when they are unkind to me, it hurts me deeper than when it's a stranger. Something that has helped me lately has been trying to not have expectations. We have to understand that we are dealing with people, and people are all sinners. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Even the best people that you can name on the planet right now are not perfect people.
That's right.
They don't make the perfect decision every time or say the right thing with the right attitude every time. Their thought life is not pure every second of every day. And if we really look in the mirror and we are humble enough to be honest with ourselves, we know how often that we say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing or think the wrong thing. So I think it's pretty unfair for us to have such high expectations of other people when we can't live up to that ourselves.
Yeah, I agree. And Jeremy and I try to teach our kids when we're speaking to them, we say, you know, is it true? Is it helpful? And is it kind? And those are the kind of words that we want our children to use when speaking with each other. And it has really been helpful in different situations with sibling squabbles. I've been able to say, hey guys, let's pause. Is what you're saying kind to one another?
Right.
But at the same time, I feel the Holy Spirit stopping me all day long going, Tara, is what you're saying kind?
Yeah.
And a lot of times I have to stop. I have to take a breath. I have to say a prayer of repentance and ask God to help me in this area of weakness. And then I go apologize to my kids and I say, hey, can I have a redo? I think that's another thing that we have an opportunity to show them is for redos. We say sorry, we forgive, and then we try again with the right heart attitude with kindness. And I'm thankful that God gives us so many redos.
Me too. Being kind is not always the easiest thing to do, especially like Tara, when you said people can be so unloving and rude and disrespectful and they do things that just are not kind, but our words are so powerful. You know, the book of James, it talks about how difficult it is to tame our tongues.
Yep.
And I feel like we need to do a whole episode episode on that. And yeah. In Ephesians, we read to not let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouth, only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. That's Ephesians 4:29. I've had that verse sitting next to my sink for months, because every time I go to change it, I'm like, no, I need that reminder. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you just wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Mm-hmm. You're tired and there's a lot going on, and you have fears and worries and anxieties that you're dealing with because you're human. And sometimes your attitude just stinks because all of those things are going on. And in those moments, it's difficult to be kind. Mm-hmm. I mean, try to say something kind without an attitude. Is if you have an attitude when you say something kind, then it still sounds mean. Like, thanks for my breakfast, mom. Or yeah. Thanks for my breakfast, mom. Like, you see how different that is? The same words, but how you deliver what you say matters. And that's going to come from your heart posture that day. So God calls us to love our neighbors as ourselves. And if we really love someone, then we don't want to hurt them. Not intentionally. And when you're not kind, that's hurtful. And I'm sure we all desire to be kind to those around us, but we've been saying it, we can't do it on our own. Life mm-hmm. happens, distractions happen. And if we are not living in step with the Spirit, then our attitude is going to show that to everyone around us. And our words and our actions are not going to be kind, y'all.
That's right. You know, so now what? We've talked so much today. So now today? What? I know today.
You sound like you're from...
I know, today. Hello. So now what? I'm just kidding. So now what? Okay, we know more about patience. We know more about what kindness means. We mm-hmm. know what the Bible has to say about them. So what can we do with this new knowledge that we now know? Mm-hmm. I think Philippians 2:1-30 sums it up. What we are specifically talking about today with how is love patient and kind. And here are just a few of those verses. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. You know, when the rubber meets the road, we need to try and rely on the Holy Spirit to help us put these things that we've learned into practice. But how can I yeah. be more patient? Well, apart from the Holy Spirit, ma'am or sir, you cannot. You don't right. just decide in the morning, okay, today I'm going to be more patient. You won't be, despite your effort. But here are a few practical tips. 1, stop and pray. 2, remove yourself from the situation to pray, and then return when you're ready to calmly address whatever topic or issue is needed. 3, take some deep breath. Breathing and remembering, that's a key, remembering God's word will help. 4, have scripture memory cards ready and close by. When you feel yourself start to become impatient, grab one of your verses about how God is patient and steadfast towards us, and meditate on who God is and his promises. And lastly, 5, have someone hold you accountable. Have a buzzword that person can say to you in a gentle way to let mm-hmm. you know that you're teetering on the impatient or the unkind side. But there's loads more. These are just a few I thought of, Kelsey. Do you have any thoughts on practical advice on how we can be more patient?
I would say try not to set yourself up. This is something I feel like I have learned, but from parenting, most of the time when our kids are acting crazy, as parents, we usually know why. We say, I'm sure they're tired. They skipped their nap today, or it's almost bedtime. Or we say, I'm sure they're hungry. They didn't want their snack earlier. I have had to learn the things that might trigger them to try to protect them from that as much as possible. It's the same thing for us. Mm-hmm. We know the things that trigger us. When I'm running late, I'm typically not as patient of a person. So I need to go to bed earlier so I can wake up earlier so I don't set myself up to fail and be impatient with my family. And also because I know I'm not a patient person, then before my feet hit the floor, the first thing I need to do is ask God to please give me patience today. I struggle to be patient on my my own. But when I feel the Lord walking with me throughout my day, then patience flows out of me without me having a second thought about it.
Mm, I love all that, all those things. So we talked about practically, how can you be more patient? Well, practically, how can you be more kind? Here's some steps. Number one, again, stop and pray. I think prayer.
Pray.
That's right.
Pray.
You can't pray enough. You know, be right. In a constant state of prayer. Number two, remember God's kindness and steadfast love towards you.
Mm-hmm.
Again, have some cards, you know, with Bible verses. You know, it will help you in return be kind to others. Number three, think of ways to be kind in unexpected ways, like creatively, to your spouse or children or coworkers or friends. You know, remember the golden rule. Treat others the way that you want to be treated. God mm-hmm. treats us far better than we ever could deserve.
Amen.
And we are called to treat others the same way, with the same love and respect.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is made in God's image.
Yes.
And number five, read God's word. When you know the God of love, it will be more natural to respond in love as our Heavenly Father responds to us.
When it comes to being patient and kind, we have to be humble enough to know that naturally as humans that we are neither patient or kind. In all things, we have to see our need for our Savior. And when you really know that without Him, that you are neither patient or kind, then the first thing that you're going to want to do is turn to Him in the moments that you're not patient and the moments that you're not kind. And in the in-between moments, you will want to learn more about God's patience and kindness because of the overwhelming sense of gratitude for what has been shown to you.
That's right. Well, I think today's first episode on our love series mm-hmm. was really convicting and really encouraging at the same time.
For sure.
So I'm going to close this out in prayer and we'll be done. Almighty Father, thank you so much for this episode and this content, Lord, that you've just laid on Kelsey and I's hearts to just share with our listeners kind of where we have wrestled with this topic of being loving in a patient and kind way. Father, thank you that you are so patient. Thank you mm-hmm. that you are so kind. We are just so undeserving of your patience and kindness. And Lord, I just pray in moments where it is hard to be patient and it is hard to be kind, that we stop and that we remember who you are and how kind and patient you are with us, and help us to then in turn be that way and love our neighbor well. Love our neighbors in the way that you've called us to. Equip mm-hmm. us in every area that we are weak, Father, so that you may get all the more glory. We pray mm-hmm. that you be with all of our listeners today, including Kelsey and I, and just help us to apply this amazing truth in our lives today. We ask all this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Do we want to end the episode right there since it's a little long already, or do we want to do a get to know you question? I don't have a know you question ready. I think you asked the last one about adult and adulting. No, or which one did we do when I said what's something good to say about our husbands? Remember I said one like that, and we did that.
You did say that.
Yeah, I know. Which episode?
I don't know when.
We did the adult tip. Maybe it's your turn.
Oh man, like I got to think about this kind of stuff. What is your favorite worship song right now?
I think my favorite worship song right now was actually shared to me by Miss Tama. Y'all know Tama. And she shared it while we lived in Auburn. And I, every now and then, I'll just cycle back through it. And it is a Sovereign Grace song called My Rock and My Redeemer. And so if you like go on YouTube, we can put it in the show note, but it's literally tied My Rock and My Redeemer by Sovereign Grace. And it's one of the Psalms. And it is just beautiful to sing the scripture out loud. And it just gets it's a heart check and it fills me with, just love for the Lord. So that's kind of been our everyday go-to, one of the go-tos we've been listening to. What about you guys?
Yeah, I feel like in different seasons, there's always different songs that really just speak to your life. For me right now, the song, The Cause of Christ by Carrie Job, one of my favorite lines in that song, it's towards the end. I feel like it probably says it several times, but the whole thing is, the only thing I want in life is to be known for loving Christ, to build his church, to love his bride, and to make his name known far and wide. And right there at the end, it says, it's not fame that I desire, nor stature in my brother's eye. I pray it said about my life, I live to build your name more than mine. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like that's just such a testament to me. Even when we've been talking about serving and talking about love, how all of it is for the cause of Christ. It's not about us. It's not about anything we can do, anything we've done, anything we can do. It's everything that he's done through us. And so I feel like that song has just been really encouraging for me. So y'all go listen to those songs. Get some encouragement.
We'll put them in the show notes.
That's right. Okay. We love y'all. Have a good week. And we pray that you guys are able to be more patient and more kind this week through the Holy Spirit.
That's right. And we hope you continue along with us on this journey through this mini series of how love is and how love is not. So join us next time for our next episode. And we love you guys. Before we end today's episode, I would love to tell you guys about an awesome opportunity that is coming up this summer. The Gospel Coalition Women's Conference is going on this summer in Indianapolis, Indiana, June 20th through June 22nd. Guys, Kelsey and I have both been to this conference. I have been able to go at least twice. It is every other year. So on the years that are even, so it's 2024. So guess what's happening? It's happening this summer. So if you are just looking for a conference to go to that is encouraging, uplifting, refreshing, gospel-centered, and full of so much biblical teaching, you want to go to this conference. Take a group of ladies from your church. Take a friend, take a coworker, take a family member, and go have a fantastic weekend learning rich gospel-centered truths, breakout sessions, keynote speakers, shopping at the TGC bookstore where everything has such awesome discounts, and you just get to have fun with other women from all over the nation worshiping God to an amazing worship band and just, again, fellowshipping together and growing in your faith and knowledge of the Lord and Jesus Christ. If you're interested in more learning more about this conference, you can check out the link today in our show notes, and we hope to see you there. Hey y'all, thanks for joining us today on the Sweet Tea and Jesus podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast so you can continue along on this journey with us. Please leave us a 5-star review on Apple so others can find our podcast and be encouraged by these gospel conversations too. Follow us on Instagram for upcoming content, news about our podcast, and more. Thank you so much for listening, and we are looking forward to you joining us on our next episode. See y'all next time.